Hi. As the name of the podcast suggests, I connect a lot of topics together in the service of growing the practice of psychotherapy. As the number of episodes grows, it occurred to me that I could offer you a way to organize the episodes. So I've created playlists. Playlists are compilations of all the episodes on one topic. If you'd like to try this out, there is a link in the show notes to the playlist page, where you will find the categories, and then you click on the category you're interested in, and you'll see all the episodes on that topic. I hope you enjoy it. While you're there, you could sign up for the newsletter if you like. Those come out weekly and are a great way for us to stay in touch, and for you to keep up to date about the podcast and additional events. Hello, and thank you for joining the Connection Therapy Podcast. This is a podcast about the craft of psychotherapy, and we seek to support those who strive to improve their craft by sharing research about the science and stories about the art of psychology. Together, we will explore these findings so you can decide how you want to apply them to benefit your practice. Welcome back. This episode features research about the concept of social learning, which involves learning by watching the behaviors of others, as well as the concept of emotional contagions, which involves an emotion being transferred to others. Recently on the podcast, I've been discussing the similarities in nervous systems across species as a way to consider a framework that starts to explore the therapy interaction between animals and humans as potentially being diagnostic. Many people report improved symptoms after working with animals in a therapeutic setting. But by saying the behaviors of the animals in these settings could be diagnostic, I'm also suggesting the notion that the way the animals respond to the humans can tell us a lot about what is happening with the emotions of the human. In theory, this makes sense, at least to me. But there are many things that still need to be understood. Even though the nervous systems across species are similar, and as a result, humans and horses display emotions in a similar way, it does not mean that something is being transferred back and forth between them, per se. How can we know that something, as in emotions, are transferring back and forth between the animal and the human? Well, I'm not so sure yet, but there are some exciting studies I would like to share with you that start to get closer to some of these ideas. A little background information first, though. One of the most famous people in social learning theory is Albert Bandura, a Canadian-American psychologist and professor of social science. Bandura and his colleagues demonstrated that children who watched an adult act physically aggressive toward a doll then displayed more aggressive behaviors when allowed to play with the doll themselves. These experiments are referred to as the Bobo doll experiments. A Bobo doll is the type of doll that is filled with air and bounces back when pushed down. As Aronson explained in his book, The Social Animal, these studies done in the 1960s were important because they demonstrated clearly how humans watch and mimic the behaviors that they see other humans do. Research in this area continues to find interesting insights, and I found two studies that I'd like to share with you today. The first is an article investigating the origins of social learning, and the authors are Paulin Dubois and Brosseau-Liard. They state, social learning is defined as learning that is influenced by observation of or interaction with another individual. Their article is entitled, The Developmental Origins of Selective Social Learning, and in it, the authors discuss research from their own lab as well as others. Specifically, they are interested to understand how young infants can distinguish between a reliable adult and an unreliable adult. On a few of the studies mentioned, there are adults who are, quote, accurate or, quote, reliable, in the sense that the adults look into something, say, for example, a bucket, and the look on their face is consistent with whether or not they find a toy in the bucket, and then they show the bucket to the child. The accurate and reliable adults are the ones that have consistency between maybe a surprised or pleased reaction upon looking in the bucket and there actually being something in there like a toy or a snack. And the ones who are inaccurate or unreliable are distinguished in that their facial features suggested there was something in the bucket when there was not anything in there. Their research shows that children as young as 14 months appear to both be able to recognize and remember the accurate or reliable adults and later show preference for those adults when they are learning, specifically displaying more trust in them by more readily copying their actions in later encounters. The second research project that I'd like to share is interested in the possibility of emotion transferring. The authors are Troche, Pellon, Cuzol, Perez, Novak, Calindro, and Lansade. And the article is entitled, Horses Feel Emotions When They Watch Positive and Negative Horse-Human Interactions in a Video and Transpose What They Saw to Real Life. Interestingly, both articles appear to have some French association, which from my perspective is fantastic. So in the second article, the researchers were interested in knowing more about how horses react to observing an interaction between a human and another horse. They were curious if the horses would demonstrate a reaction similar to the horse they saw in the video, and if the horses would modify their behaviors toward the human based on what they had observed. Here's how they set things up. They had the horses watch two videos, one video of another horse being groomed, what they called the positive video, and the second video of a horse receiving a veterinary procedure, and they called that one the negative video. They had to do a lot of training at first just to get the horses to watch the videos while having equipment strapped to them, neither of which are natural states for horses. But when they did this, they demonstrated to statistical significance that the horses had changes in heart rate during each video. Their heart rates calmed while watching the positive video, and their heart rates accelerated while watching the negative video. So yes, in case you were curious, the anxiety around going to the doctor is universal. They also did some elaborate facial coding to determine that facial features indicating emotions were consistent and statistically significant as well. For example, eye movements and head postures made by the horses. Then they did something really interesting and had the horses with both of the humans in real life. So the horses had seen them in video, and then later they introduced the horses to the actual humans. Strangely, the horses showed preference for the adult in the veterinary video, the negative one, by going up to that person more than the other adult. The researchers hypothesized this as an appeasement behavior, which has been documented in other studies that sometimes animals work to appease, in this case perhaps as in trying to appease someone so that they do not put you through a vet procedure. But for me, the significant parts are that the horses displayed physical markers consistent with what they were seeing in the videos. As in nearly all studies, the authors admit that more needs to be understood if they can make explicit conclusions. So fascinating. I am sure I will continue to reference these research projects in future episodes. But for now, let's summarize some of the implications and meanings of them. For clinicians and anyone supporting children, the finding that infants can distinguish between an accurate and non-accurate or a reliable and unreliable adult is really important. At very young ages, in fact, before speech is fully acquired, humans can understand when the emotional signals do not match the behaviors of someone else. So, to better support children and all adults, it is important that our emotions as mental health therapists match up with our behaviors as much as possible, because others are watching and learning from and about us. Social and emotional skills are crucial for human development. Children who display difficulties with social and emotional learning are at risk of increased isolation from social groups as they mature. which is one reason therapists like myself focus on play therapy interventions. And this study reinforces my instincts on the importance of play therapy interventions as a way to provide positive experiences with cooperative human interactions. Secondly, the study with the horses is fascinating in so many ways. First, that the authors are associating facial features in the horses with emotions and showing the ways they can be transferred from a video to the observing horse. It is well established that animals, including humans, learn socially. I have mentioned Mark Beckoff, who studied wolves, and Jaak Panksepp, who mainly studied rats, and they demonstrated this among many others. For example, fear and rage are readily transferred across a social group of mammals, and this is perceived to be important for survival. Thus, the better an individual in the group can perceive cues from the group is foundational to their ability to survive. Yet now in this study, we are seeing the horses be able to do this through a video, which means only visual cues are observed, and a resulting physical reaction, heart rate, and facial features are shown to be statistically significant. This is really important and has many implications for working with animals. And as a therapist who works a lot with children who have experienced violence and abuse, the part about the horses moving toward the adult in the negative video when they had the choice in real life to select which adult with whom they wanted to interact. The one putting the stress on the horse via veterinary procedures is the one who got selected most. I have had a hard time letting go of my first instinct when I read this in the study. It is well known that children often affiliate with the abuser in a family or at school. I get asked all the time why a child would bond with someone who has been abusive, and there are so many reasons, many of which we may never fully understand. But the result in this study makes me think it may be more universal than originally understood. This second study brings up more questions than it answers, perhaps, in that if horses can pick up these things visually, what can we as humans pick up? What do I myself see in other beings, and how could I learn to understand more of what I am seeing? In other words, how can I become more consciously aware of what I am seeing? The reason I believe this to be paramount to the practice of animal-assisted therapy is related to my own experience of learning another language. My second language is French. And I became a better English speaker because I learned French. I acknowledge you may have concerns about my ability to speak either language, but let me explain. As a native English speaker, I did not understand all the specific details of speech. Speech is something we learn through social learning, so I uttered words and phrases as I heard them and repeated them to others. Yes, I did take English classes in school, but I didn't really understand all the ways speech worked until I took French classes. My French teacher remains the best teacher I ever had the privilege of learning from. But as I have studied additional languages, I feel it was more than just her expertise that helped me be a better English speaker. By learning French, I became more aware of the act of speaking, of crafting sentences, of conjugating verbs. All of these things work differently in other languages, and thus I had to relearn the specifics in my own native language along with the new language. And that is akin to what I am suggesting as to how learning how to decode animal behaviors as potential diagnostic indicators of the emotional states in humans can make us better at understanding emotions overall. If I can start to distinguish when a horse makes a movement with their eyes and realize that something just shifted emotionally in the therapeutic setting, then in that encounter, I can support the therapy client by better observing what just happened. And then later when I'm in my office, I hopefully will be able to sense a similar shift emotionally. Much like how learning French helped me understand how to speak English better, then understanding how emotions move through and are displayed by the animals in animal-assisted therapy sessions could also support me in better understanding how emotions move through and are displayed in office therapy sessions, too. As always, I appreciate your time. and your enthusiasm in learning about this field along with me. I hope you'll join us again for future explorations in the field of psychology. And if you'd like to take a step further, there are additional ways to obtain more education and support on our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com. While there, you will find information about the authors and studies featured in the podcast episodes. Also, you will see a schedule of live trainings I offer on the topics featured in the podcast. And you will find information about the Connection Community, a growing group of mental health clinicians dedicated to the study and practice of psychotherapy. Please check out our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com, to learn more. Thanks. Until next time.